From Hollywood, California, the Lux Radio Theater presents William Powell and Claudette Colbert in The Ex-Mrs. Bradford.
Lux presents Hollywood. Romance, laughter, and mystery are combined for your entertainment tonight in The Ex-Mrs. Bradford, starring Claudette Colbert and William Powell. Our music is directed by Louis Silvers, and between the acts, you'll meet the physician criminologist, Dr. Ronald W. McCorkle. Mr. DeMille steps to our microphone in just a moment. Meanwhile, a brief reminder to all the ladies listening in. 9 out of 10 screen stars use Lux toilet soap. That certainly is significant. It means that the loveliest women in the world, the beautiful stars of the screen, to whom an attractive complexion is so necessary, use safe, gentle Lux toilet soap. I wonder if you found out what a luxurious, delightful aid to beauty this fine white soap is. And what a grand thing it is to make a daily beauty bath with this richly lathering white soap a regular part of your beauty ritual. You'll be sure of daintiness and sure of skin that's sweet. Lux toilet soap has active lather that carries away every trace of dust and dirt and perspiration, leaves the skin fresh and soft, perfumed with a delicate, clinging fragrance. And when you're tired, you'll find a beauty bath with this luxurious white soap just as relaxing, just as refreshing as a beauty nap. Try it, won't you? Ladies and gentlemen, the producer of the Lux Radio Theater, Mr. Cecil B. DeMille.
Greetings from Hollywood, ladies and gentlemen. Cain and Abel were the principals in the first murder case recorded in history. In this country, the first murder mystery occurred in 1630. It was solved by the law and written off the books with a length of rope. The gentleman who paid the penalty was John Billington, who gained the dubious distinction of occupying the first hangman's noose in America. Since then, mystery has always had a particular attraction in this robust land, inspiring some of our greatest authors to write some of their greatest stories. Men like Washington Irving, Hawthorne, and Edgar Allan Poe. Tonight's play comes out of the school which they established, flavored with a modern touch of dry humor and sophisticated romance, and employs the distinguished talents of William Powell and Claudette Colbert. As Dr. Bradford, Mr. Powell repeats the part he played in the picture. And again as Dr. Bradford, he has the sympathy of all patient and obedient husbands who crawl out of bed in the middle of the night to assure their wives that the noise they hear is nothing more deadly than the dripping of a faucet. Likewise, all those good women who at least once in their lives have been able to say, "I told you so," because it really was an intruder, will say it again with Claudette Colbert as Mrs. Bradford. Miss Colbert's latest picture is Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer's It's a Wonderful World. Mr. Powell's detective experience certainly qualifies him for the role of the unwilling Sherlock tonight. He created Philo Vance on the screen, was the Nick Charles of The Thin Man, and he appears through the courtesy of Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer, where he's preparing another Thin Man picture. Two feature players from the new RKO film, Career, also join our cast. John Archer as Nick Martell and Alice Eden as Mrs. Summers. And now, let's dust off our magnifying glass, put on our gum shoes, and raise the curtain in the Lux Radio Theater as we present The Ex-Mrs. Bradford, starring Claudette Colbert and William Powell. The living room in the home of Dr. Bradford. It's just before dinner, and the prominent surgeon, sitting at ease in his favorite chair before a comfortable fire, listens to the news reports on the radio. As the butler enters, the doctor holds up his hand for silence.
Yes, it was a strange tragedy that took the life of Eddie Sands today at the Imperial Racetrack. War Cloud and Luxury, with Eddie Sands up, were racing neck and neck down to the line of finish. Luxury was pulling away when suddenly Sands fell from the horse. The field doctors rushed to the jockey's side, but he was already dead. An examination disclosed that the famous little jockey had died of heart failure. News from Washington today is concerned
all
mainly
right, Stokes,
with the passage
off.
Of a bill to regulate...
What is it, Stokes?
I beg your pardon, sir, but are you in?
In? Why, yes, I think so.
Oh, physically, of course, sir. But socially...
Stokes, you bring up a very interesting point. If it's anybody I don't want to see, obviously I'm not in.
Then, sir, you are not in. I shall tell her so at once.
Don't bother, Stokes. Hiya, Brad.
Paula.
Brad, darling, kiss me.
Paula,
Dr.
please.
Bradford is not in, ma'am.
Oh, I'm afraid it's too late, Stokes.
Sorry, sir.
Well, Paula, no one need ask how you are.
Oh, I feel grand. How are you, Brad? You look terrible.
Well, I was all right. I thought you were in China. I hope.
Oh, Brad, I almost forgot. I brought someone with me. Come in, please.
How are you?
Brad, this is Mr. Frankenstein.
Mr. Frankenstein, how do you do, sir?
Are you Dr. Bradford?
Yeah.
You are sure you're Dr. Bradford?
Well, I don't know. I am Dr. Bradford, Paula.
Yes, he's definitely Dr. Bradford.
And Dr. Bradford, I hereby serve you with a subpoena to answer a suit for non-payment of alimony brought by Paula Bradford. Here you are.
A subpoena? Well, for a minute, I was glad to see you, Paula. As for you, Mr. Frankenstein...
Oh, am I going to be thrown out again?
Stokes, show Mr. Frankenstein the door.
Come along, sir.
Now, Dr. Bradford, are you going to pay me my alimony or aren't you?
A fair question, and it deserves a fair answer. In a word, no.
Oh, yes, you are. The judge said so.
Paula, I hate to introduce mundane matters into our idyllic relationship, but you already have about 2/3 of the money in California.
That has nothing to do with it. It's a matter of principle. You agreed to pay it, and I'm going to make you, if I have to spend all my own money doing it.
Well, Stokes?
Mr. Frankenstein has been thrown out.
Hmm.
Dinner is served, sir.
Dinner? Oh, how nice of you, Brad.
Lay an extra place, Stokes.
Yes, sir.
And lock up the silver.
Oh, it's been lovely, Brad. I don't know when I've enjoyed anything more.
Very kind.
You know, Brad, I've reached a great decision. I'm going to marry you again.
Paula, that's the thing I love about you. You're so subtle.
Oh, but you see, I'm doing it for your sake. Then you won't have to worry about the alimony.
No, Paula. I think you're the swellest girl in the world. If we could have made a go of it, I would never let you divorce me. But our life together was intolerable.
Oh, I thought it was fun.
Fun? You were making a nervous wreck of me. Almost had me convinced that the coffee always had poison in it. Scrambled eggs were always filled with ground glass. And there were murders going on all around me.
Oh, for an intelligent man, Brad, you have a very narrow mind. Now, I never tried to interfere with your career as a surgeon. And you had no right to interfere with my career as a writer of mystery stories.
Your writing of mysteries never bothered me. It was your insisting on living them that got me down. Do you realize that the last 3 months we were married, you kept me so busy running down clues that I spent more time in the morgue than I did in my office? And none of them were my patients either. I beat you to that one.
Brad.
What?
Don't move.
I'm not moving. Hey, what are you...
Have you got a gun?
What's the matter? What are you staring at?
The wall behind you, in the living room. It's moving.
Oh, is that all? Control yourself, Paula. Stokes!
Yes, sir. All ready, sir.
Never mind, Stokes. No movies tonight.
No movies? Very well, sir.
Well, what is this?
All new since you've been here, Paula. That wall moves a few feet from the left. And that hole you see up there is our projection booth.
What have you done? Turn this place into a neighborhood movie?
No, it's just that Stokes and I don't like standing in line. We find this much simpler.
Oh. Say, Brad, speaking of murders...
Which we weren't.
Speaking of murders, that was a marvelous setup at the racetrack this afternoon.
Oh, you mean Eddie Sands?
Yes. Oh, what a melodrama, hmm?
An unfortunate accident, Paula, not melodrama.
Not melodrama? You're crazy. Well, think of it. The horses thundering down the stretch. Luxury the favorite. 12 lengths in the lead. Millions of dollars riding on his nose. The villain hidden behind the three-quarter pole with a rifle, with a Maxim silencer. He shoots. The jockey's pulled.
My dear ex-wife, Luxury wasn't 12 lengths in the lead. There was no rifle fired. The jockey was not shot. The coroner said it was heart failure. Well, I don't quite see how...
Excuse me, sir.
Yes, Stokes?
Mr. North is here, sir.
North? Well, this is a coincidence. Send him in.
Hello, Doc.
Hello, Mike. Say, I'm awfully sorry about this afternoon. This is Mrs. Bradford.
Glad to know you. Well, I didn't know you were married, Doc.
I'm not.
Yeah, we're going to be.
Oh, no, we're not. sit down, Mike. Paula, Mr. North is the trainer of Luxury. He's the man who taught Eddie Sands everything he knew.
Oh, well, we were just talking about the murder of that poor jockey this afternoon.
What? What do you know about it?
He was murdered, wasn't he?
Yes, he was.
What?
You see, Brad, I told you.
But the report was heart failure, Mike.
Doc, you examined Eddie not 2 weeks ago. Did you ever see a finer boy? Was there anything the matter with his heart?
No. That's why I couldn't understand. Say, have you been to the police with this, Mike?
No. This is my job.
Mr. North, did Eddie have any enemies? Some organization of spies, possibly,
Paula,
that was...
Will you shut up? What makes you so sure it was murder, Mike? Jockeys have fallen from horses before, you know.
Yeah, but Eddie was dead before he fell.
How do you know that?
The boy didn't have a bone broken, Doc. You don't fall limp and relax like that if you're conscious. Then I found this note in his locker after the race.
Oh, please, let me see. You do as I've told you. Keep your mouth shut. No one would take your word against mine.
Who wrote this, Mike?
I don't know, but I'm going to find out. And you're going to help me. I want you to examine Eddie's body.
Oh, that won't be necessary. The coroner will perform an autopsy and...
I want you to examine it, Doc.
Oh, of course he'll do it, Mr. Norris.
Here we go again. Well, all right, Mike, I'll examine the boy if that'll make you any happier.
Thanks, Doc. You keep the note. I'm going to do a little scouring around on my own. I'll meet you back here later. So long, Doc.
About 10:30, Mike.
Right.
Oh, Brad, isn't it exciting? I'll go get my wrap.
Paula, we're not going to a party. In fact, we're not going anywhere. I'm going to the morgue.
Well, what a coincidence. That's where I'm going.
Right down this way, Doctor.
Thank you.
You know, Brad, this doesn't look at all like a morgue.
You know why? We're not in the morgue yet. It's behind that door.
Oh.
Paula, will you please go home?
No.
Look, this is definitely no place for a woman.
All right. I'll make you a proposition. If I don't go in, will you marry me again?
No.
Then in we go. Open the door, please.
Yes, ma'am.
Paula.
Paula?
Joe.
Yeah?
My assistant has just resigned. Would you mind getting her out of the air?
Oh, sure. You know, my wife's the same way. Least little thing frightens her.
Find anything, Doc?
I don't see anything out of line here. There's not a mark on the boy. He couldn't... Hey, wait a minute. Let me have a scalpel, will you?
Yeah.
Something on his back here. A little scraping. What do you make of that?
Could it be chewing gum?
It could be, but I'd be very much surprised. Let me have a tube with this scalpel, will you? I'll examine what's on it when I get home.
Good evening, Doctor.
Good evening, Stokes. What's that package on the table?
It's from Mr. North, sir. Delivered an hour ago.
Mr. North? Why was it left here?
I don't know, sir.
All right, give it to me.
Yes, sir. Now, sir, I regret to tell you that...
I'll have to wait, Stokes.
Oh, but Dr. Bradford, I must tell you that...
Hello?
Hello, Doc. This is Mike North.
Oh, how are you, Mike? I say...
Hey, Doc, did a package come for me?
Why, yes.
Okay, keep it for me. I'll be there in 5 minutes. I've got something very hot.
All right, Mike.
Dr. Bradford, I regret to tell you that...
Please, Stokes, not now.
But Dr. Bradford,
later. I'm going to be busy.
Hello, darling.
What? What's all this luggage in here?
That's what I was trying to tell you.
So wait a minute. What is this, Paula? What are all these grips?
Oh, did I forget to tell you, dear? I'm moving in.
You... Oh, now, Paula. This is ridiculous. All that this means is that I'll have to move out.
You'll do nothing of the kind. You're my bread and butter, Brad, either by marriage or alimony. And the only way you're any good to me is alive. Now, you've got yourself mixed up in a murder case. Against my advice, mind you. And it wouldn't surprise me if you got bumped off unless I look after you.
Paula... You're a menace to civilization.
I'm very serious, Brad. You've got to exercise every precaution. Don't eat anything unless you've had it tested. Don't open a door. And above all, never go anywhere alone. Not that you'll have much chance to.
Yeah, I can understand that. Hello?
Hello, Dr. Bradford?
Yes?
Well, this is Mike North, Doc.
Mike?
Yeah. Look, Doc, did the package arrive for me?
Why, you just... Yes. Yes, it came.
Okay, look. Look, I'm in a spot. I need help. Will you come right over to the cigar store at Wilshire and Weston? I'll wait here for you.
Yes. Yeah, sure, Mike.
And bring the package with you.
Okay, Mike. Goodbye, Mike.
Well, I guess that was Mike.
And that's where you're wrong, my sweet. That wasn't Mike. It was someone pretending to be Mike.
Oh, what did he say?
He wanted me to meet him with this package.
What's in it?
I don't know.
Let me see.
No. Don't do that.
Oh, now, Brad, let me alone.
Now, give me the package.
No, will you please let go? I want to see what's in it.
Listen, Paula, you should...
Oh, Brad, it's money.
Money?
Yeah, does it. Isn't it beautiful?
60, 70, 80, $100,000.
And you were just going to walk out with that and get clunked over the head by a phony Mike North. Well, it's a lucky thing I'm here, Dr. Bradford.
Yes, very.
Listen carefully, Stokes.
It was a scalpel, a little knife. And it had a little gummy substance on the blade, and I left it right here on my little desk last night. Now, do you understand?
Yes, sir.
Well, where is it?
I don't know, sir. It must have disappeared.
Well, all right, never mind. Has Mr. North called yet?
No, sir.
Did you try to reach him?
Yes, sir. His phone doesn't answer.
Try him again.
Yes, sir.
Did you call those other numbers I gave you?
Yes, sir. No one has seen Mr. North since early last evening. Hello? One moment, please.
I'll take it. Hello, Mike?
Yes?
Hello? Is this Mike North?
Yes, this is Mike North. Who is this?
Paula, what are you doing over there? Where's Mike?
I don't know, but don't worry. I've got clues. It'll probably take me all day, but I'll find him.
That's fine. When I see him, I'll tell him you're looking for him.
Well, young Lochinvar home from the wars. Bust me, like old boy.
Consider yourself bust, toots.
Oh, you look tired.
I am. Six operations in one day.
Yeah, come on, put this on.
My smoking jacket. Say, where did that come from? Well, I've hunted everywhere.
If you're going to dig into my girlish heart, that has been in Honolulu, Bali, China, and points west. It went with me.
Well, confidentially, I've missed you both. Hey... We're on the verge of getting sentimental.
Darn if we're not. How about some dinner?
Well, Stokes' day off. Now, if you were the right kind of an ex-wife, you'd have dinner ready at home. But As it is,
I am the right kind of an ex-wife, and I've got dinner ready at home.
Are you serious?
Anytime I fix dinner at home, it's serious. Look in there.
Oh, Paulie, you're swell. You know, it's little touches like this that make a man appreciate a woman about the house. Coming home tired, sitting down for a good dinner. Hey, what is it?
What's the matter?
Everything looks like jelly.
No, darling, gelatin. Jellied consomme, aspic salad, chicken and jelly.
Don't go on, I get the idea. It's all gelatin.
Well, now stop complaining. Try some of that jellied consomme.
Did you find Mike?
No.
Well, neither did I.
Brad, please, let's not talk about detecting, hmm? Let's just have a nice, quiet evening for once. The ex-Bradford's at home. Now, how do you feel?
All right.
Funny, so do I. Here, try some of that chicken in aspic.
Thanks.
How do you like it?
All right.
Sleepy?
No, not particularly.
Well, neither am I. I'm not even dizzy.
Well, that's something. Paula! What are you doing?
I always rub gelatin on my arm. Here, put some on your face. It feels good. Do I look all right?
You look pretty silly to me.
Well, hold out your hand.
What for?
Hold it out.
All right, now what?
There. A little gelatin on the hand is good for you.
Oh, thank you, Paula. Thank you very much.
Now, hang on to it.
I can't. It oozes out.
Do you still feel all right?
Paula, I feel fine, except I'm getting mad.
Oh. Well, it's very funny. We ought to be dead.
What? What was in that stuff?
Just gelatin, but it should have killed us.
Paul, you're crazy. They feed that stuff to babies.
It may be all right for babies, but it killed Eddie Sands. That's what was on the scalpel.
The scalpel? What do you know about the scalpel?
Oh, I took it. Didn't you know?
Oh, heaven give me strength.
Well, certainly. I took it over to the laboratory last night and had it analyzed. It was just gelatin.
Paula, you're sensational. For a while, you had me interested in this detecting business. If someone else had stolen the scalpel and... But no, you took the scalpel. Then proved that the poison was not poison. Which very effectively ruins any help I could have been to Mike North. Except finding him. And we are now going to let the police worry about that.
Oh, I think you're a sissy calling the cops.
There's something very strange about Mike. I want to know what's become of him. Who could that be? Wait here, Paula.
No. I want to see.
Go on, beat it now, will you? Beat it.
Wait, Brad.
What?
Listen to that bell.
Just a minute.
Brad, don't open the door. Just look out the peephole.
Paula, will you?
Oh, but you don't know who it might be. Please, look out the peephole.
All right, get away. Who is it?
Who's out? What do you see?
That's funny. The man is back up against the door. He's leaning on it. Get away, Paula.
What are you going to do?
I'm going to open it.
Oh!
Get away!
Oh, why did he lie there like that?
It's Mike North.
Mike?
He's been shot through the forehead.
Is he dead?
Yes.
Fred, there's a note on his sleeve. What does it say?
This guy wouldn't turn over the money either.
After Act One of The Ex-Mrs. Bradford, in a few moments, William Powell and Claudette Colbert will return for Act Two. Meanwhile, in this short intermission time, let's look in on a family scene.
Why, Sue, dear, what energy. Must you play the piano before you even take your hat and coat off?
Oh, I don't know, Mother. I just feel so good today.
Betcha I know why. Betcha I know why. It's because she's got a date with John Lane tonight.
Oh, Mother, make him stop
it. Oh, so that explains it.
Yes, Sue has a date tonight, and she's happy, as girls are when they're popular and sought after. Sue isn't beautiful, but she's lovely to look at because she has the charm of smooth, radiant skin. She's clever, too. She doesn't risk spoiling her good looks. She cares for her complexion the Hollywood way with gentle Lux toilet soap. It has active lather that removes dust, dirt, stale cosmetics thoroughly. It helps guard against choked pores, the choked pores that cause unattractive cosmetic skin, dullness, tiny blemishes, enlarged pores. Use cosmetics all you like, but use Lux toilet soap regularly, as 9 out of 10 lovely women of the screen do, as lovely women all over the country do. Use this gentle soap before you renew makeup during the day, always before you go to bed at night. Here's Mr. DeMille.
The Lux Radio Theater brings you the second act of The Ex-Mrs. Bradford, starring Claudette Colbert in the title role and William Powell as Dr. Bradford. A few minutes have passed. Just inside the door of Bradford's home, Mike North lies on the floor. Inspector Corrigan and his staff have arrived. Flash bulbs are exploding and fingerprints are being taken as the machinery of the law gets underway. Suddenly, the inspector turns to Bradford and eyes him coldly.
All right, Doc, why did you kill him?
Why did... Don't be ridiculous. What would I kill him for?
There you got me. But if you didn't, how did his body get here?
I don't know. I saw someone leaning against the door. I opened it, and his body fell into the room.
Mm-hmm. Pretty good man that can walk up to a door and ring the bell after he's dead.
Now, just a minute, Inspector. Why would I kill Mike North?
Oh, I don't know. But look, Doc, you've been a mighty suspicious character these last 24 hours. Mighty suspicious. First of all, we got a report that you visited the morgue last night. You found something on Eddie Sands' body and took it away with you. Now, what was it?
Well, it turned out to be gelatin.
Gelatin? Well, that makes as much sense as the coroner's report. He performed an autopsy on the body and says the left ventricle was completely collapsed.
Left ventricle collapsed? Well, that's funny. That's symptomatic of drowning or strangulation.
Kind of cockeyed, ain't it? Drowning, strangulation, or gelatin? Why did you go down there, Doc?
Because of Mike North. He came to me.
Yeah, and that brings me to another interesting point. We just sent a man down to his hotel, and he found this. A woman's purse. You recognize it?
No.
That's funny. It's your wife's. Now, look, Doc, there's no sense kidding you. You're in a tough spot.
I'm beginning to think you're right.
Yes, I'd say you were in a tough spot, Brad. You're now public suspect number one. You've got to find the murderer to clear yourself.
Which is exactly what I'm going to do.
You won't find him on the sports page.
Paula, I don't want to tell you your business, but in most murders, the motive is money. Now, who stood to make the most out of yesterday's race?
The owner of the winning horse?
Exactly. See here? Sixth race, winner, War Cloud. Owner, Leroy Hutchins. Odds 4-1.
Hutchins? That's the man who called Mike last night.
What?
Yes, I found slips at Mike's place this morning. He had 3 calls last night. Hutchins, John Summers, and Nick Martell.
In case of fire, run. Do not walk to the nearest exit.
Where are you going?
Find out who killed Eddie Sands.
Brad, you're working on the wrong murder. It's Mike North they think you killed.
Paula, it should be obvious even to you that if Mike was killed, it was because he had confirmed his suspicions about yesterday's race and was coming close to the murderer. So if I can follow Mike's trail last night...
No, wait a minute. If you find out what he did, you may get bumped off, too.
Maybe. Tell Corrigan I'll be back soon.
Brad! Oh, Brad, come back! If you're going to be killed, I want to be there.
Well, Now, Mr. Hutchins, I'm going to be very frank with you. I'm investigating yesterday's race.
I see.
Investigating for the track officials?
I'm sorry, Mrs. Hutchins, but I can't tell you that. Tell me, Mr. Hutchins, what sort of a trainer is Mike Noah?
Well, one of the main reasons I wanted to buy the Summer Stables was because Mike would go with it.
Oh, then the deal didn't go through?
No. Summers wanted $20,000 extra for luxury, and I couldn't see it.
Very interesting.
Will you have one of these cakes, Doctor? They're very good.
Hmm? Oh, yes, thank you. Well, is that what you called Mike about last night, Mr. Hutchins?
Oh, you're mistaken, Doctor. I didn't call him. I saw him at Summer's house.
Hmm, I see. Hmm. These cookies are good. What are they?
Oh, a little idea of my husband. A gelatin filling.
Well, that's a very cute colt, Mr. Summers. I'll buy him from you right now.
Sorry, I never sold one of my horses in my life, sick or sound.
Oh, I thought you were considering selling your stables.
Aye? Of course not. I've told my trainer, Mike North, not even to bother me with any offers.
Really?
Won't you come into the house, Doctor?
Oh, no, I feel right at home here. You see, Mr. Summers, I'm investigating yesterday's race.
You mean Eddie's death?
Yes.
Oh, I'm sorry. John, you explain. Excuse me.
We were both very fond of Eddie, Doctor. His death was a terrible shock to us, but to her particularly.
Yes, I can understand that, of course. Now, I imagine Mike was upset, too.
Very.
Is that why he came here last night?
Last night? Oh, yes.
Radio Theater presents William Powell and Claudette Colbert in The Ex-Mrs. Bradford.
Presents Hollywood. Romance, laughter, and mystery are combined for your entertainment tonight in The Ex-Mrs. Bradford, starring Claudette Colbert and William Powell. Our music is directed by Louis Silvers, and between the acts, you'll meet the physician criminologist, Dr. Ronald W. McCorkle. Mr. DeMille steps to our microphone in just a moment. Meanwhile, a brief reminder to all the ladies listening in. 9 out of 10 screen stars use Lux toilet soap. That certainly is significant. It means that the loveliest women in the world, the beautiful stars of the screen, to whom an attractive complexion is so necessary, use safe, gentle Lux toilet soap. I wonder if you found out what a luxurious, delightful aid to beauty this fine white soap is, and what a grand thing it is to make a daily beauty bath with this richly lathering white soap a regular part of your beauty ritual. You'll be sure of daintiness and sure of skin that's sweet. Lux toilet soap has active lather that carries away every trace of dust and dirt and perspiration, leaves the skin fresh and soft, perfumed with a delicate, clinging fragrance. And when you're tired, you'll find a beauty bath with this luxurious white soap just as relaxing, just as refreshing as a beauty nap. Try it, won't you? Ladies and gentlemen, the producer of the Lux Radio Theater, Mr. Cecil B. DeMille.
Greetings from Hollywood, ladies and gentlemen. Cain and Abel were the principals in the first murder case recorded in history. In this country, the first murder mystery occurred in 1630. It was solved by the law and written off the books with a length of rope. The gentleman who paid the penalty was John Billington, who gained the dubious distinction of occupying the first hangman's noose in America. Since then, mystery has always had a particular attraction in this robust land, inspiring some of our greatest authors to write some of their greatest stories. Men like Washington Irving, Hawthorne, and Edgar Allan Poe. Tonight's play comes out of the school which they established, flavored with a...
Eddie loved my husband as he would a father, and out of loyalty to him, threatened to tell him. I wrote Eddie that note, and he died. And so, you see, the note must be destroyed. Please give it to me, I promise you.
Well...
Don't be a sap, Brad.
Paula, will you please...
Give me that note.
What do you want it for?
Now, don't argue. Just give it to me. Now, Mrs. Summers, will you please write?
Write what?
On this pad. Write, you do as I tell you and keep your mouth shut. Now, give me the pad. Mm-hmm. Yes, it's the same writing. Well, I just had to make sure you weren't protecting somebody else.
Good girl.
Here's your note, Mrs. Summers.
Bless you both. I'm so grateful.
Oh, don't mention it. Brad was glad to do it.
Good night.
Good night, Mrs. Summers. Well... That got us a long way. I can feel the noose around my neck right now.
Brad, what's the name of that bookie you used to know?
Bookie? Why?
Oh, Nick something.
Nick Martell?
That's it, Martell.
What's he got to do with it?
Oh, nothing, except that Mrs. Summers mentioned something about her husband being suspicious.
Well?
And this afternoon, I saw her and Martell together at the Hillsgate Bar.
You did? She and Martell?
Mm-hmm, I'm sure of it. They sat right next to me. And Martell was yelling about losing a lot of money when War Cloud won.
Which means somebody placed a big bet with him. So long, Paula.
Well, wait a minute now. Where are you going now?
I'm going to call a Mr. Martell. And I hope he isn't home. I'd like to take a look at the records in his safe.